Now, this woman, she survives 49 days. It's unfortunate the husband took off to find help, and he may never be found again. That's an incredibly long time for someone without experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. I think that's going to break some records for sure. And I'm always one to say that food is not a priority in a modern survival situation, and this woman is case in point for that. So, yeah, it's tremendous. You know, 7 weeks is a hell of a long time. It's one thing physiologically to pull that off, you know, through the starvation and malnutrition process. It's a whole other thing to pull that off psychologically because, you know, she was alone in the wilderness when her husband left her for over a month. And that's more than people can, you know, probably stand. That's a long time to be alone out in the woods.
You know, Cody, how many people go out on trips and they never realize and think about the possibility that they can get stranded out there? Something could happen. Nobody will ever find them.
Yeah, about 90% of the people, I think, feel that way. One of the most common ways to come home in a body bag is the "it can't happen to me" syndrome, you know, and even I have that. I'm heading out to the wilderness tomorrow morning early to do a recon for a course, but I will leave a game plan with people that that care about me. So if I'm not back by a certain date, you know, or a certain hour, someone will come looking for me and they know where I'm at.
Cody, is it particularly dangerous, for example, for, let's say, a woman to go jogging in the woods? You know, you hear all these horror stories. What would you advise, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, who wants to do that?
I think it depends on which woods. Is it the Central Park woods in New York City? It depends on what woods you're talking about. Is there known mountain lion habitations in the area? I mean, I live in the wilderness. You know, I'm talking to you from the wilderness right now. And what scares me most are probably two-legged creatures in cities more than just jogging in the woods. So you kind of have to put things in perspective here. We have enough fear flying around the planet. And my job as a survival system instructor is to try to mitigate that fear as much as possible, not create it. That said, people do need to be prepared, and in this case, this family was not, you know, in this minivan. They got stuck, and there we go. And she's probably lost her husband because of it.
If you're going out into the wild like they did, should you have supplies on hand for a few days, water, food, blankets, something?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they had a minivan. They had the space for that. The problem is the scenic route, quote-unquote. You know, Forest Service roads are notorious for not appearing like they do on the map, especially in Nevada. Nevada has some amazing remote country, much like my Arizona. So if you see that squiggly line on the map and you feel it's a county road or a graded road or whatever, you might be in the grave, you know, because a lot of these roads will just twist and turn and head into the mountains, and their scenic route probably cost, you know, this woman or husband's life. So when you're going to Vegas, who in the hell puts a bunch of extra food and clothes and survival gear in the car?
Nobody.
Exactly. So that's the real problem with this. It's very similar to the gentleman that died leaving the car, I believe, in Washington State a few years ago. He left his family in the car. And I say to people over and over and over again, they always find the vehicle before they find the dead body, because the bigger vehicle is easier to find. And in this case, you know, I'm glad that at least the woman stayed, but it's a horrible thing, but it's also a real miracle that this woman's still alive.
When I was in Boy Scouts a long time ago, Cody, we played a game in the woods called Capture the Flag, and we had two sides of Boy Scouts, each with a flag, and we'd go in different directions, and it was our job to find the other team's flag that they had hidden away. And, you know, that's what we did out in the woods. But I've got to tell you, there were times with even a group of Boy Scouts, we would get lost. And it got scary after a while. I mean, when you're out there in the woods for just walking around and you get deeper and deeper and deeper into them, if you don't know what you're doing, it's a pretty frightening thing, isn't it?
It is frightening. And you know, this gentleman, I can picture him walking away. He's the man. You know, he's going to take control of the situation. His wife, as opposed to the, you know, according to the CNN thing, she's not the outdoorsy type.
Mm-hmm.
So after 3 days, he heads out. And I almost wish he didn't have that GPS, because I can picture if you get stuck in mud and snow, and I hate to be the guy that sits on the couch and judges this, but if you recently drive down a road that's muddy and snowy, you can follow your tracks back. You know, even if it's several miles, that GPS, my gut instinct, is he might have taken that too literally, screwed up, taken some coordinates and headed maybe deeper into the woods to try to get a shortcut to catch another crossroad, and that might have just screwed him. You know, eventually they'll find probably the body. You know, I hate to say that, but that's a long time to be out, essentially in a quasi-winter survival situation with nothing. But my hunch is they'll probably find him about 100 feet off the road trying to get shelter, covered up with some stuff, very, very hard to find, because he was obviously cold. And my guess, if they do find him and he did die, the autopsy will be hypothermia.
Yeah.
That's the number one killer, is low core body temperature, and this is a classic situation for that.
What is one of the strangest, scariest stories you've encountered, Cody, in your career?
Wow. Coming from coast to coast with George Norrie, I'm not prepared for that question. I mean, you know, probably the real classics are the older ones, like the rugby team that went down in the Andes Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the real classic stories of cannibalism, the Donner Party, and The Long Walk. My favorite survival book has been made into a movie. I can't wait to see it. I hope they did it justice, about some World War II prisoners that walked pretty much from a gulag in Russia clear to India, cross country. And that's a hell of a story. So one thing that people can, I think, can benefit from reading classic survival stories like those and others is it puts their usually small survival situation into perspective. You know, this woman here in this vehicle did have some books, and her probably number one enemy in the situation, and she managed to overcome it, was just boredom and fear, mm-hmm. and being alone. A lot of people can't stand to be alone, you know, because we're used to city life, urban, suburban life. So it's a real testament, frankly, I think, to her spiritual faith and the fact that she had that to occupy her mind and the books to get through that situation. Because I'll say it again, survival situations are 90% psychology. This woman had nothing. She had nothing to eat, very little to drink, the clothes on her back, and thank God for the vehicle for shelter. But she survived mentally more than anything else by just never giving up.
It is just amazing. 49 days. But what would have happened had these hunters not stumbled across her?
I think she'd be dead.
Yeah.
You know, I really think she would have succumbed to either hypothermia. You know, when the body loses its juice, when it does go into a malnourished state and into a starvation state, it's very, very hard to keep warm. You know, because that is one advantage of food in a cold weather survival situation, is food essentially is metabolic calories. You know, you're adding firewood to your body's core to help burn those calories through metabolic heat to create heat for the body. So it's a wonderful thing to have in a cold weather situation. The fact that I think that she lived so long was she sat on her butt most of the time. She wasn't doing a whole lot of stuff to burn excess calories. And my guess is she had just enough clothing to keep warm with the combination of that vehicle. Because when the body shivers, it burns up to 6 times the amount of calories as it does when it does not shiver. So I think she'd have been dead a lot sooner. She'd have died probably very early if she didn't have that extra clothing, right, to take to Vegas to the conference.